Gave a lot of thought to the sermon for today, a lot of thought to how I wanted to address the passage that the lectionary gave us for today. And as I was looking at Genesis chapter 18, and as I was looking at the surrounding chapters, I came to the conclusion that I wanted to set this passage in its context. I wanted to set this passage within the context of where we find it in the book of Genesis, and in direct relationship with what it speaks about, specifically the promise of God to Abraham and to Sarah that they would be the parents of a new people, a new nation. So we need to take a look for a moment at the beginning of the message today at chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Of the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. If you want to turn to it, you may do so. God, speaking to Abram, says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." This was the promise that we read about a couple of weeks ago. Or was it just 1 week ago? Time is flying to me. And it also seems to be taking forever, too. And an interesting paradox. This is the promise that came to Abram when he was getting ready to leave his homeland, when he was getting ready to leave his family and leave his father's house and depart out of Haran. And the promise that is made to Abram is very specific, very clear. You're going to become a great nation, a great multitude of people. You're going to become a great nation, and your people will be blessed. They will be blessed. And not only will they be blessed, but all the people of the world will be blessed. That's the beginning of the promise made to Abraham and his offspring. If you look over in chapter 13, verses 14 through 17, you see it iterated again. "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot had separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length and in the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee." In other words, look, you will have so many children that if you could count the dust of the earth, you would have that many kids. I'm going to bless you, Abram. I'm going to bless you greatly. And I want to give you a place where you're going to be blessed, where you are going to live. And then if you look over in chapter 15, you will find the promise yet again. Chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou art able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. In other words, Abram, you counted the dust of the earth, and you're going to have as many kids as that, if not more. Now look up into the sky and count the stars that you see there. And if you can count all those stars, you know what? You're going to have as many kids as that. That's an awful lot of kids, isn't it? How would you like to have that many kids? Sometimes I think Steve and Monica do have that many kids. Yes, Cherokee, that means you. And you. No. you can count the number of stars, so shall your kids be. Wow, what a promise. What a promise made to Abram and Sarah. It's a promise that God said he would fulfill. But there's a problem. Oh, and there's always a problem. There's always a problem with God's promises, because you know what? He makes them in such a way that it looks like it's impossible for him to fulfill them. My father is 68 years old. My mother has been 29 two times and going strong, right? I was trying to be diplomatic there. I'm not sure if I was or not. She didn't work for you. I don't go home with them, Jim. My mother says she's been 29 now for a long time and holding. If this promise were made to my mother and dad today, Dad's shaking his head no before I even get there. If this promise were made to my parents today, and both of them are a lot younger than Abram and Sarai were at the time that these promises were made to them. My father is a good 30 years younger, and my mother's not, who knows, she says. Don't go there. Who knows? Don't go there. And since it seemed to be impossible, since this promise that God made looked like it was impossible to be achieved, just like us, Sarai says, okay, this God we serve has to be nuts. Tell you what, since I'm too old, Abram, I have a handmaid. I have a servant girl. I picked her up in Egypt when we were down there. She's young, she's pretty, she's capable. Take her and get God's promises achieved that way. And so, in chapter 16, that's exactly what happened. Chapter 16, verse 2, and Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. That's kind of nicely put, I think. Abram said, all right, let's get God's work done for him. Come on, Hagar. Yeah. That's what it says. That's what it says right there in the Bible. Right here in my King James. I decided to read this from the King James today for fear that some people would think it wasn't in the Bible. Yep, that's what it says. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And they had a kid named Ishmael. And you know what? Because Sarai and Abram decided to get God's will done for God their own way and not God's way, because they tried to do it by their own human ability, there have been pain ever since. Because Ishmael is the ancestor of the Arabs. Yep. They are brothers and sisters, friends. The Jews, the Hebrews, and the Muslims, the Arabs, the Palestinians, they're related. And they've been fighting ever since. And had they not tried to get it done their own way instead of God's way, this mess wouldn't have happened. Well, that wasn't God's plan. That wasn't God's plan. So God repeats his promise in Genesis chapter 17, verses 4 and 8. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations, a multitude of nations, if you will. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. In other words, I'm going to be your God. I'm going to make a covenant with your kids. You're going to have many nations, Abraham. You're going to have many nations descend from you. Not just Ishmael, a nation, but nations, plural. Many nations are going to come from you. But it didn't stop here. He then gives more detail to the promise, detail that had not been there before. Because Sarai decided she was going to get God's job done for him. He's too slow for Sarai. God decided to cover the loophole. Genesis 15 and 16. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give her a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Not just you, Abraham. Not just you, but her too. You know what the dirty old rat did? He laughed. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear a child? Ha ha ha! You've got to be kidding, God! Ha ha ha! That dirty rat laughed. He thought it was funny. And then he says, oh, let Ishmael be the one through whom you're going to do everything, God. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Not Ishmael. Isaac. Not from Hagar. From Sarah. Well, we're not done. Because right after that promise was given, in chapter 18, two angels come. Three angels, come to Abraham, and Abraham's sitting out in front of his tent like you're supposed to do, watching for visitors. He's an hospitable man. He's a kind man. He likes to give people a place to eat and some refreshment on the road as they're going by. If it's night and they're tired, he gives them a place to stay. He did what the people in that day and age did. He was hospitable to these strangers as they came along the road. And they came up and he invited to let them have meal with them. And they said yes. And so he ran in and told Sarai to make the bread ready. And he went and he got a kid and had it prepared and cooked and ready for them to eat. And they sat down and they ate. They were having their meal out in front of the tent. And they get to talking. And one of the angels says unto Abraham, where's Sarah, your wife? And Abraham says, she's in the tent doing what she's supposed to be doing. Woman's place is in the kitchen, I suppose. Oops. Get behind this pulpit fast before the tomatoes start flying. Where is Sarah, thy wife? And Abraham says, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return. This is the angel speaking. I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent, behind the door, behind them. She's listening, snooping, listening to find out what's going on, like women everywhere, I suppose. Hasn't changed, men. Listening in on the conversation. I will certainly return, and behold, she will have a son. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself. She laughs too. She thought it was funny as well. In fact, she thought it was ridiculous, crazy, insane. After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also, my translation up here in the GNB is, and Sarah laughed to herself, saying, now that I am all worn out, and my husband is old, am I to have pleasure? Am I really going to get, finally, after 90 years, to have a kid, to have a son? Am I finally going to get to have the joy of being a mother? And she laughed. She didn't believe it. She laughed like Abraham laughed. You got to be nuts. She laughed too. Oh, that's crazy. Ha, ha, ha. I don't believe it. That's crazy and insane. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Why did Sarah, your wife, laugh? Saying, shall I surely bear a child when I am old? Why did she not believe it? Why did she laugh? Why did she laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I didn't laugh, I laughed not. For she was afraid. But he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. No. You may want to think you didn't laugh. You may want to think that you didn't disbelieve. You may want to think that you accepted the truth and the promise. But you laughed. Not only did you laugh, but earlier on you tried to get it done a different way. Yeah, you laughed. Sarah, you laughed. You disbelieved. Despite your disbelief, Sarah, despite your laughing at God, which is what it was, God will perform this miracle. God will come again. And you, even though you are old and barren and incapable of having children, you will have a son. And what the angel said, what the Lord says through this angel, is true also for us today. Is anything too difficult, too hard, too wondrous for the Lord to perform? No. Nothing. It's beyond the miraculous touch and presence of God. These promises were impossible. He made them to two people who were biologically infertile with each other and who were too old to do it anyway. And he, by his miraculous presence and touch, made it possible. Made it possible. Nothing. And that's the simple essence of the message today. Nothing is beyond the power and wondrous presence of God. Nothing is too hard for God to do. And that's true for your life, and that's true for my life. I don't care what impossibility is facing you today. I don't care what mountain you have in front of you that you feel you've got to climb. I don't care what valley you find yourself in. I don't care what difficulty, what problem, what disaster you are facing in your life. My brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, hear this. Nothing is too difficult for God. And with God in your life, with God in your life, you can face whatever the world throws at you. Satan's going to try. He's already trying. But no matter what he throws, nothing is too hard for God to accomplish in your life. When the way gets tough, when the going gets tough, remember, nothing is too difficult, too hard, or too wondrous for God to do. That's true for Abraham and Sarah thousands of years ago. That's true for you and me today. Whatever you may be facing, nothing is too difficult for God. Give thanks to God for His wonderful presence, for His wonderful promises, even though sometimes He chooses the most unlikely vessels, the most unlikely people. Still, God is powerful and present, and nothing is too difficult for Him to accomplish. And will the people of God say amen?
Amen.
Amen.